Let's take our Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 1. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here as we look in the Word of God in Philippians chapter 1. The theme of this chapter is life's person, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and is shown to us in verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And as we look into this verse, as we see right here, as we look into verse 19 and 20 this morning, we see Jesus and His personal gifts listed in those first 18 verses. We get down to verse 19, we see Jesus and His practical gifts. And as we look, verse 19 says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." I want to ask you a question, and then I'm going to answer it with this message. Why are you here? Why are you here? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you today, Lord, for letting us be here and be alive. We pray, God, today as we come and gather around the Word of God, that, Lord, that you'll show us great and mighty things we know not. We pray Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And I pray, Heavenly Father, today while we're here, God, you'd help me to preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Lord, we love you today, and God, we pray you'll help us today. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and for his sake, amen. As we look into the Word of God, and I've asked you this question, why are you here? I've listed at least three reasons, I believe, why people do show up at church. Number one is to convince someone. It's either them or somebody else. A lot of folks go to church to convince themselves they're saved. I got news for you. You can go in McDonald's, but that don't make you a Big Mac. You can go sit in a garage all night, but that don't make you a car. Amen. That don't prove anything. Your attendance proves nothing. It doesn't prove your salvation. I had somebody ask me recently, they said, how can you tell if somebody's saved? Well, usually they act like a saved person. They usually talk like a saved person. They usually do things a saved person does. But all that can be faked. One thing's for sure is that people show up at church sometimes usually to confuse someone. I love it when these things that look like they need to be sprayed, dipped, and worms showed up to date our little girls in this church, and it's like, that don't look right together. Why is that? Why does this part over here don't look right with this one? This one needs to go back to the veterinarian.
Amen.
Get them fixed. That's exactly right. Amen. We don't want that populating earth, do we? But I know this, a lot of times these girls shows up like that hunting boys too.
Yep.
And the bad thing is, nobody seems to understand this, but if they won't go to church before, they won't go to church later. If they won't live for the Lord now, they won't live for Him later. Be very careful about who you choose there and stuff like that. So you don't understand her or him. Like, yeah, I know. Listen, I'm only 47 years old. I've never seen it happen before. Maybe once or twice. But also, I think people go to church, and this is probably the worst reason to come, is to con somebody. You know what a con is? It's not a guy in prison. A con is a confidence man. He gains your confidence, then he takes things from you and possessions or money or something like that.
Right.
Con man. Confidence man. So why would they show up? Well, they want to trick people out of their belongings. See how good a Christian I am? Mama, I'm coming to church. I'm a good Christian. You can write me back in the will anytime. Honey, I'll be better this time. If you'll just come back to the house, I'll start going to church with you. Yeah. Listen, the second he unpacks his bags and when he walks in the door, it's the last service he attended was the last one he attended. And see, when people do that stuff, that's bad. And if you're doing that, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Right.
I think it's sad that people do all that. But see, those are not the reasons why you're here. There's only two reasons why you should be here today. And both of them are in verse 19 and verse 20. Number one, you are to be here for what God gives. If you look at verse 19, he says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer." What does God give? He gives his holy salvation. And notice that he said, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer." He's not lost saying that. What happened to him? He got saved. See, when Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus, and he went out with letters from a magistrate being able to lock up anybody that said they were saved, following Jesus Christ, prayed in Jesus' name, or preached in Jesus' name. And somewhere, and I don't know where it was, I don't have a name to go with it, but I know this, when somebody like that shows up on our landscape in our life, that they're persecuting the very things of God, at some point in time, somebody's going to say, "God, will you save that person?" They'll be praying, "Lord, will you save that person? Lord, that's obviously a lost man. Will you save that person?" Somebody that's saved, Lord, needs to listen. Somebody that's saved needs to pray for somebody like that. They might get saved. And I see literally God gives his holy salvation, but then after you're saved and you're born again, you're a child of God, the Lord also proves that thing to you before you ever prove it to him. I've had people say, "I'm trying to prove my salvation myself." No, the Bible don't say prove it. It says work it out with fear and trembling. Find out if what you've got lines up with what the Bible says a saved person has. Give yourself wholly to God and get his holy salvation. But then you're going to find out that there's going to be some trials and some situations you're going to get into that God's going to have to save you out of after you get born again. Paul was in one of them. You know what his situation was? He was locked down in a dungeon and, listen, headed towards his execution. And if I remember correctly, the book of Philippians was one of the last few ones he wrote in that last little stretch there. And as he wrote those letters, those would be the last things he'd write. Now imagine that. You're sitting on death row. And there is no lawyer that the Roman government's paying for. They didn't pay for your lawyer. Once you were convicted, that was it. As soon as the gallows opened up or whatever opened up, the chopping block or whatever they were going to use on you, whenever that thing opened up, you was next. So he's sitting there waiting on this thing right here. He's going to die here soon. And he says, "You know what? I'm trusting God to get me out of here." You say, "Well, that loser, he never got out of there." I think he did. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He got out. Listen, when you're somebody like him, and no matter where you are on planet Earth, when you die, guess what happens? You go to heaven. All saved people go to heaven right then. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And when God saves a sinner, when they depart that body, they're immediately in the Master's presence. And I noticed that, you know, salvation, you get salvation from sin's condemnation, which is hell. You get salvation from sin's conviction, because the Holy Spirit does not convict you of your lost sins after you're saved. Only the devil does that. You remember what you used to be? Remember what you used to be before you got saved? Remember? That's how he works. Holy Spirit of God leads you down a path of following him and following the Word of God. He teaches you things that nobody else can teach you. And listen, when God gives that thing, he gives a holy salvation. And if you look in verse 19, he says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer." And it says the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. What God gives, he gives his holy salvation and he gives his holy Son. Why are you here? You ought to be here because you've been given the gift of Jesus Christ. A lot of folks have misinterpreted and said, "Well, the Bible don't say Jesus lives in your heart." It does, too. If you go look that thing up, you'll run one of these Pauline epistles where it says he dwells there by faith in your heart. Say, "Well, what happens when..." No, either you believe this book or you don't. Right. See, this ain't a matter of speculation or a matter of opinion. This is a matter of faith. And when you receive him by faith, he comes in and dwells by faith. When he's there by faith, he comes and he gives you a supply. And God gives you his holy Son to show you how much it means to him that you belong to him. He gives his best towards you. What does he give? He gives his holy salvation. He gives his holy Son. And that's what God gives. He's the giver of life. When he says, I've given to them eternal life and they shall never perish, that's because he's given you the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who has no beginning and no end. It's an eternal on both sides. And he give that thing to you. And listen, he give you the Spirit of Jesus Christ and all the supply that comes with it. And that very supply is talked about. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus in Philippians chapter 4. Supplied. See, he gave his best. A lot of folks, listen, they use God as a spare tire. They'll come to him when something happens. Oh, God, listen, the tire blew out. We in the emergency room. Help us. Where you been? We need to get some things settled first. Well, Lord, I know if you let me out of this and I'll get right back. Sound like a drunk praying over a toilet stool on Friday night. Hey, listen, he's not a spare tire God. He wants to walk with you every day. He wants to run your life on Monday just like he does on Sunday. And he give you his holy son so that he might be able to give you his best to show you that he gave his best for you and he wants your best given to him. I see that thing about the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ and I am just taken back that God Almighty would do that thing for us after the way we act and the way we do. I mean, listen, you say, before I was saved, I was a rascal. You've been a rascal since you've been saved. Because, see, you're not perfect, therefore you sinned afterwards, and he still said, I'm giving you the supply of Jesus Christ. I like the fact he gave him that and gave us that instead of giving us the other thing, which would be nothing. Here, you're saved. Help yourself. Do the best you can. I know people that say that. They say, well, God expects you to have common sense. If he expected you to have common sense, you've already failed. Something you need to know about common sense. It's not common and nobody has it. Even if they say they do, they lied to you. You know why? The devil's out to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll lie to you and deceive you in a second. And he'll show you you don't have the sense you think you got. What'd God do for that? He said, you know what? There ain't no temptation taking you, but I'll provide you a door out of that temptation. His name's Jesus Christ. I'll give you the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. When somebody said, well, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. It's a fiery trial. I know it's a fiery trial. That's why he supplied you with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So you'd have him to walk with you through that trial. And he'll have you to help you through that thing. Because that's what God gives to his people. And he hasn't let up yet. And the supply is endless. I hate having to go to the grocery store all the time, but if I didn't eat, I wouldn't have to. But there's certain things I have to go get. And if they were an abundant supply at the house, I'd never have to leave the house. One of these days, they're going to come up and buy a load, or one of them's going to say, we're going to deliver groceries to your house. I'll probably never leave the house again except to come to church. And I was thinking about how you can take and say, well, I need this and this and this. And, you know, you just hit that button and the next few hours it shows up at your house. I'm telling you, one day they're going to do that. They're already doing it some places, just not here. And once they figure out how to do it here, they'll do it here. Won't have to worry about you people that can't drive no more. Amen and amen. Lord, have mercy. You know what the biggest confusion is in Gaffney? It's called lunchtime on Floyd Baker Boulevard. Everybody loses their mind. They don't know whether they're going right, left, straight, or backwards. And what's worse is you don't know either. And it's a big mass bunch of confusion. And listen, as we think about the supply of Jesus Christ, that's where God puts us on planet Earth. We in a place just like that. It's like lunchtime 24 hours around our places because the devil's always attacking you. The demons of hell are out to get you. And it seems like everything is just going to go wrong. But then there's the supply of Jesus Christ. And then there's that peace that passes all understanding. Then there's that supply of Jesus Christ that you said, I can't make it. And you look back and you just, I did make it. How'd you make it? He was there for you the whole time. Why? Because of the reason that God gives his best. Why would anybody want to show up at church? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus Christ paid for this outfit in his own blood, according to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. And if he paid for it in his blood, that means he didn't die for one person. He died for everybody. And if he died for everybody, when they get saved, he places them in his body. His body is the church. The church has a building, according to 1 Timothy 3:15. It's called the house of God. We meet there for corporate worship, where we all get together. We all sing songs, we all praise His name, we open up this book and we see what God's got to say to us, and we look at it and we say, amen, that's right, God, and we're wrong. We sing praises to Him and we lift Him up in song, and how great He truly is. I look at this thing and I see the reasons why God wants us here. And I see in verse 19, it's because of what God gives. But then in verse 20, I see it's because of what God wants. He writes here and says this, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, that he says, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. What does God want? God wants boldness out of His Christians. Not being a jerk, boldness. Now, if you'll notice, he says, according to my earnest expectation, hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness. You know what people don't like when they come into church? They say, oh, he preaches loud. You know what they don't like? It's not loud preaching. It's the fact that there's a preacher up there that believes that book in front of him, not some pile of lost paper somewhere. And listen, he's bold because he knows he's saved because God saved him. He's bold because he knows God called him to preach. He's bold because he knows God gave him the message to preach to the people.
Amen.
When somebody comes up like that, immediately somebody says, well, that just offends me. Bless your little, listen, bless your wee little heart. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Oh, they offended at the Confederate Memorial statue. They offended at the NAACP statue. They offended at this and over here, and they offended at that and over there. You do not love the Bible. But I love the Lord. Well, if you love the Lord, you'd love His Word. Because His Word says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. These people walk around, I'm offended, I'm offended, I'm offended. You listen, you sound like one of them people that stands around when somebody holds up a Donald Trump sign, they start screaming and hollering and crying, oh, it's offended me, it's offended me. It's crazy. Grow up and be a big Christian and say, nothing's going to offend me because I love that book. I love God. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I love His Word. I'm going to get in there and study His Word. And listen, when somebody tells me they're a good Christian, they try to tell me that God has two different gods, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. I know they don't know either one of them because it's the same God.
Right.
When they tell me, they say, well, I just don't understand how somebody can say that they can sin and still be saved. Well, let me ask you a question. Which one of your sins was future when He died? I believe that'd be all of them, right? He died for your whole package before you were saved, while you were saved, and after you were saved. And He bled and died for all of them. He became sin for you that knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What does God want? He wants boldness out of His people. Nail her down about salvation and then start telling people about it. He said, I'm going to do that thing with boldness. How you mean boldness, Apostle Paul? What in the world could you be talking about? He's ready to die, but he's still testifying.
Right.
And he wasn't testifying because he's ready to die. He'd been doing it the whole time. See, because when he got saved, it changed his life. It showed him that religion was bad and that Jesus Christ was the Savior. It showed him that the law was not something to be kept. It was a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. And if law was good, if a man used it lawfully and showed sinners they need to be saved, and then take the Word of God and show them how to be saved.
Amen.
A lot of times people, they can't grab that thing and say, I just don't understand. Well, that's up to the Spirit of God to show you that thing. See, because He shows you from the Word of God, and listen, He wants you to have that holy boldness to go tell somebody. I didn't tell everybody this today to do this thing, but in our class today we had English lessons. We looked at Psalm 119 verse 165. We found out what a verb was, what an adjective was, what an adverb was. We defined words and everything else. And not one time did we consult any Hebrew text or any other English Bible. We come to this Bible and found out something. If we love God, we're going to quit walking around talking about what we don't like. And I said, they offended me, they offended me, they offended me. Please. What does God want? Boldness. Where's He going to find it at? In His people. In His people. Say, so, you mean I got to stand up and holler at people? Well, you already do at the house. That's what your husband told me. But outside of that, I mean going out and telling people about Jesus and believing what you're telling them. They call it on the street today, keeping it real, player. So I want you to keep it real. And listen, I come with all boldness. And listen, he says, as always, so now also. He said, Christ shall be magnified in my body. Now watch this body here, whether it be by life or by death. What does God want? He wants boldness. And get this one, he wants bodies. Anybody want to offer to be sacrificed today? Come one, come all. The altar's open. See, nobody gets up on calls like that because they don't want to give everything to him. No, if we had a singer going, and he is tear-jerking and saying, I just don't know, I can't make it through this song. There'd be people all over the altar, oh, I'm crying with him, oh, God, help us. God didn't say he wanted that. He said he wants bodies. I see, he said, whether it be by life or by death. Let me ask you this. You reckon that those people that go out into eternity out of a car wreck with liquor on their breath, are they glorifying God in their bodies as they die? So that wouldn't happen. I remember all these people telling me it's okay to drink. They eventually go, that thing's going to catch up with them somewhere. When it catches up with them and they die that kind of death, is that glorifying God in your death? How about their life right now? How about your life right now? God's looking for bodies. What's he looking in bodies for? Sacrifice. Spreaker, you scared me to death about that talk of sacrifice and that's cut me up. I ain't said a thing about cutting nobody. I didn't even say you had to die. God's looking for bodies. Tell you what he gives his best. Now he wants your all. What does he want? He wants bodies. Why does he want bodies? Because he wants to use you for his glory. He wants you to be his specialized ambassador in this world to not only reach sinners, but to teach sinners. He wants you to have a testimony that you're saved and a life that backs it up. He wants bodies. The number one complaint about people is this. If they work in a restaurant, they say, I'd get saved if it wasn't for that Sunday crowd coming in. Okay, I want to teach you something, okay? Let me find my thing. Yeah, here we go. See these right here? These are gospel tracts. They're our gospel tracts. If you are going out to a restaurant today and you plan on acting like a fool and sending your food back and cussing the waitress and don't tithe, don't give them one of these. Because I hate to think that we would act like that out in public after I just preached the living devil out of you in this church. You go out and act something like that. I would hate to think that our church people would go out and put out tracts with no tip in them. You cheapskate. Let me tell you something. You take that bill and put 20% with it, and they'll not only read that track, they'll reread it. So, well, them people expensive. Now, listen to me. If you walk in there and eat, you can afford 20% tip. It's easy to do. Amen. Some of you's tightening up right now, but I'm going to tell you something. You want to go back and have good service the second time you go back, tip good the next time. Tip good the first time. Next time they'll all want to wait on you. I'll come this way. I got them. Five people be saying that. Listen to me. Do right. Because what you're doing, you gave your body to the Lord. And if you take your body and go out there and do that, and you do what's right by doing something like that, and you sow to that principle, there may come a time God may send something your way when you need it. Wouldn't it be awful to be out there and not tip these waitresses, complain about all the service, they didn't fill up my tea and all this other stuff, and the very next day you lose your job. Lord, give me a job. Let me think about it. Did you work the last one? Keeping it real. You reap what you sow. Listen, I see right here for a fact what God wants. He wants bodies. And he either wants you to live for him and glorify God in your life, or glorify him in your life and your death. I knew a preacher one time back in the 70s. He said, I want to die preaching. He got a church, and 6 months later, he's in glory. He died while he was preaching. Had a heart attack. Gone. Glory. Listen, I'd rather be caught doing that and die like that than I would die the way I hear some people die. Listen to me. There was a while back, this preacher was murdered. And the people got all mad about it. His family started questioning the law and everything. And the people from Columbia come up here, them sled people. They said, "You have to quit questioning all this." They said, "Why?" I said, "We got all these receipts right here where he was at the night before. We don't want to hear it no more." That's not glorifying God.
Right.
Listen to me. God's looking for bodies. So, well, I'm fat. Well, you have a lot of room for God then. Well, say, "I'm skinny. I can't." Well, you have a little room for God. But you, everybody has room for God.
Right.
He wants your body. He wants people to realize why are they here? It's because of what He wants. He wants bodies. What does He want bodies for? He wants bodies that He's indwelled in salvation and that He can control through being filled by His Spirit. A lot of folks have never seen the need or the want of living for the Lord. They think salvation is just a little more than hell insurance or something like that. I'd hate to live another day thinking all I had was hell insurance. Knowing how wicked and corrupt this world is and how people are just off the rails nuts nowadays. And all I got is hell insurance. No, I like that part where it says, He says, "I'll be with Yahweh even to the end of the world." So if I happen to live long enough, I see the end, He'll be with me to that time. It's probably not going to happen that way. So be absent from the body, I'll be present with the Lord. So either way, I win. A lot of people never understood why God does this, but God wants bodies. In the Old Testament, He required bodies, animal bodies for sacrifice. They'd kill that animal, bleed it out, put its blood on the altar, put it back there on that brazen altar and burn that flesh and all that and take that blood and go into the holy place and then the most holy place back there just for that year. But God's not looking for animal bodies. He's looking for human bodies. So He wants to cut my throat? You probably need your cut throat, but that ain't what He's wanting out of you. You probably would deserve it if somebody did it to you today for all the wickedness and things you've thought of just in the last 30 minutes. But listen to me. God wants a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable unto Him. He wants people to come to Him and give Him their body. Lord, You can use this. You know what God will do if you do that? He'll use you. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.